our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is going to take a little work on your part. I'm going to need you to visualize here. Visualize point A and visualize point B. Now in your mind's eye, you're going to take a writing utensil of your choice. A pen, a pencil, a Sharpie, a crayon. It doesn't matter. I want you to put the end of that writing utensil on point A. Now I want you to take that utensil and move it across to point B. What have you created? A line. Thank you. You're all very good. You've created a line. Well, what do we use lines for? What are some of the different things that we use lines for? Hunter. To draw shapes. Exactly. We use them to draw. We can draw different shapes with lines. What else do we use lines for? Boundaries. We use lines for boundaries. Boundaries are important things in our world because we use boundaries all the time. We've used boundaries probably ever since we were little children. Think about the games we used to play. Have you ever played tag? When you play tag and you're outside, what's the very first thing you have to do? Figure out what the boundaries are. Because you don't want to be chasing somebody three blocks down the road. You want to create boundaries. So this is as far as you can go. Our worlds are full of boundaries. When I lived in northern New Jersey, it was kind of interesting because there are all these small towns that make up what is northern New Jersey. And if you go into Bergen County in particular, you can't tell one from the other. There aren't a lot of signs up that say you've gone from Weehawken into North Bergen. You can only really tell, actually, if you pay attention to the police cars. Because they'll tell you what town you're in because it says it on the side. But otherwise, you can drive along and you won't really know what town you're in, which makes it kind of difficult if you're trying to get to a specific town looking for a certain address. Because unlike here, once you cross a boundary, the street names all change. Here it's a little bit more well-marked in terms of what the boundaries are, but the boundaries aren't very straight here, are they? You know, you can drive in a straight line and you can go from Cave Creek to Scottsdale to Phoenix before you know it, and then suddenly you're back in Cave Creek again. And I was told when I got here that all the lines are straight. It's a grid pattern. So if it's a grid pattern, how in the world can I get from here to there to here to there and back to here again if I'm going this way? But the most important boundaries we have, I think, are the boundaries that are set forth for us in terms of how we're supposed to live our lives. We're taught those boundaries early on, aren't we? Our parents, or whoever was raising us, would tell us, do this, don't do that. And so they created this guide for us of different lines that we weren't supposed to cross. And any child worth a salt would stand there at that line, whether it be a line of behavior, whether it be a line of where you're supposed to go and not go, or any other sort of line, and look at it and go, just to put your foot across it. And then you look around to see if anybody actually noticed. Lines in the Bible, all kinds of boundaries. Boundaries that talk about how we're supposed to act, who we're supposed to act certain ways toward, what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. One of the oldest questions in the Bible has to do with the responsibility we have towards other people. Adam and Eve tried to throw each other under the bus. First time they got into trouble. And then their son, Cain. Am I my brother's keeper? To which the answer was, well, yeah. Because those boundaries help us define other things in terms of what the commandments are laid out for us. Because as Christians, the commandments that we have really are those things that come from Jesus, that Christ lays out for us in terms of our behavior and our actions and how we're supposed to treat one another. And so then the question is, okay, we're supposed to love, like it says here in the Gospel of John. We're supposed to love one another. Well, how do you do that? As I have first loved you. Oh, that sort of love. Okay, so we know what kind of love. Well, who are we supposed to love? Your neighbor. Okay, good. We got the neighbor part down. So who's our neighbor? Mrs. Fitzsimmons, who lives next door? Well, I know she's my neighbor. But who else? Well, your neighbor isn't just the person who is geographically related to you. See, that line spreads far and spreads quite wide. So the love we're called to apply to our neighbor is one that just doesn't have to do with a geographical restriction, but it has to do with the people we encounter within the world. Christians, right? People like us. Well, doesn't say that, does it? Just neighbors. People who take in up space on the same planet that we happen to be in. Hard to find that line of being a good Christian, because, you know, we want to stay within the boundaries, don't we? We don't want to step outside the line. But the reality is, I think sometimes we're called to do that very same thing. Step outside the line. Because ultimately those lines that are created aren't lines that God created. They're lines we put into place. So there was a gentleman in 2007, his last name was Autry, he was in New York City at one of the subway stops with his two daughters. While they were standing there waiting for the subway to show up, there was a gentleman who was standing two folks down from him that went into an epileptic seizure and fell down into the tracks. Now, the New York subway system is known to have three rails. The two rails that the wheels go on, and then the third rail, which is the rail that powers the subway. You even brush against that third rail, you turn into a quick piece of toast. And so there's this gentleman lying there on the tracks in a full seizure, flailing and whipping around, and without even giving it a second thought, Autry jumps down into the tracks to try to be able to pull this man up out of the tracks. If you've ever dealt with somebody that's in an epileptic seizure, one of the hardest things to do is to grab hold of them and to move them. And while he was struggling to do this, he heard that noise. And then the whistle. And as he looked up, he saw the bright light of the subway heading right towards him. As the conductor slammed on the brakes of the subway, he heard it squealing. He grabbed the man, wrapped himself around him, and got as low down between the two tracks. For a clearance of 2 inches, survived that event. Where was the line? Here was a man who was responsible for two young women, his daughters, who were standing there at the subway platform with him. Now, isn't that ultimately his responsibility? Those two girls. And yet, one might argue that he shirked that responsibility to go to the aid of the other. Or is that line on the other side? that he was responsible to try to do what he could for the man on the tracks. Mohammed Gulab apparently didn't understand where the line was either. It's a fairly famous story, a book, and then a movie about Marcus Luttrell and the SEAL team he was in Afghanistan. As they were out doing their SEAL team work, their position had been exposed and they were attacked by a huge mass of Taliban fighters. As the story played out, all of the men except Luttrell and the SEAL team were killed. He was near death as he was dragging himself through the woods towards a village, and at the pond outside the village, he encountered three men from the village, one of them being Mohammed Gulab. Gulab grabbed Luttrell and drug him to his house. And they did the best they could to care for him, even though they had no medical care or experience. Now, the story doesn't end there. Because those Taliban fighters who had killed all of his comrades were still looking for Luttrell, and because of his injuries, there was a very clear blood trail that they were following that led right up to Gulab's house. The Taliban fighters entered the village. They pulled Luttrell out. They drug him into the middle of the square, and they intended to behead him there in front of everyone. As the sword was raised, a shot rang out. It was Mohammed Gulab standing with his fellow villagers surrounding the Taliban, insisting that they leave Luttrell alone and they leave their village. Where was the line there? Gulab placed not only himself, not only his family, but his entire village in danger by crossing over the line and expressing his love and his compassion for Marcus Luttrell. Today's gospel lesson, I think, instills within us this understanding that there surely are not any lines in our world when it comes to Jesus. Not lines that hold us back, but lines that Jesus insists that we cross. Lines that we are called to cross to be able to offer care and love to the world around us. Lines that we're called to cross to be able to give of what God has blessed us with to people around us, no matter who they might be, no matter what the color of their skin might be, no matter what their religion might be, no matter what their politics might be, no matter where they happen to come from or what they believe, but simply to love. To love in the way that Jesus loved us. To be able to give of ourselves so completely that we would be willing to sacrifice our lives for the sake of the individuals that we might not even know. Because in the end, that is what Christ calls us to do, to be Christ's presence in this world, to live our lives in a manner that would do justice in terms of reflecting the love that He has placed within our lives. For it is in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we have found life. And that death finds us to be the source. For it is through our sinfulness, our selfishness, our self-serving that called this event some 2,000 years ago to take place within our world for our lives. for our sake. That Jesus crossed over that line. That line that says that we really don't need to do a thing. That line that says those people don't deserve our help. That line that says they can fend for ourselves. I have my own problems and my own situations. That line that says I need to take care of myself first. And yet we are called each and every day to step over that line. Erase the boundaries of strife and hatred. To look beyond those lines that divide and separate. And only live our lives through the love of Christ. Sharing that love with the world in which we encounter. Because there is no greater love than this. And to lay down your life for your brothers and your sisters. To be able to share that love that Christ has first shared with us. That, the greatest gift of all. That love which has no boundaries, no beginning, no end. A love that encompasses us. A love that embraces us. A love that demands that we love in the very same way. Amen.